Howdy, peoples. Peoples, party peoples.
Going on, guys.
People, peoples. It's a thing. It's a thing for sure. Oh, jeez. It's been a day. It's been a long day. Long, long freaking day, man. Just long.
I enjoyed the transfer from Elwood, all the books
Oh, I
to
know.
based on Image.
I'm aware because as you were scanning them in, I'm getting an email every time you scan a new book into Amazon. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Justin's been, at least I know you're working. So
But it's the books that I'm listing that make the like current things going on in the world very interesting because it's what was it, a book about the most evil dictators in the world, the most
Yeah.
evil men and women in the world. And I'm just like, these need revised.
That's a thing for sure. So, yeah. So thanks everybody who came out to the new, well, to the karaoke last night. We had a blast at the Resonine. So for those of you who don't know where the Resonine is, which some of you definitely do not, because the best was trying to explain to people where the hell that was. Okay, so the Resonine is upstairs of the Phoenix Theater in Bridgeville. So if you go to Bridgeville, there's a big freaking shopping plaza at the bottom of this hill. It's got a big Home Depot in it. It's got a giant eagle, like a brand new Starbucks, like all kinds of cool stuff. All the way in the back, all the way, like at, behind the giant DMV, which, by the way, I had to go to that DMV to get my license renewed during the pandemic because it like oh they closed out all the small ones, and this thing was massive. Like it is like the size of the hall we do the con in. Like it is huge, right? It's like really,
Jeez.
really, really, really big, right? So it's behind that. There is a massive theater called Phoenix Theater. You walk in the theater, you hang to the left, like past the ticketing booth. You don't have to pay a ticket at the ticketing booth. You just walk past it and you go up the steps and the mezzanine is the resonine. And it's right up there. You can actually go in and you can actually rent like PC consoles and play video games all day. It's really great. It's like an esports area. It's really awesome. Our friend Nikki Lee, who's one of our cosplay friends, she actually works there. I think she said her brother works there too. One of the managers, Natalie, was there. She was great. They set up a little bar. The concession stand food was pretty good. The house system worked out pretty well. The only thing that sucked, this is the only thing, was that Carafun, the thing that we use to do karaoke, their server went down in the middle of the whole thing.
Oh.
So for 40 minutes, we were trying to figure out how we were going to do this. Luckily, Joe Bazone, our sound guy, one of my fraternity brothers, actually had a hard cut, like hard copy, like a hard drive, like a 2 terabyte hard drive of karaoke stuff on his computer. So we just used that.
Oh, there we go.
So it worked out. Yeah, it was very good. And we christened it with the Seal's Kiss from a Rose to close out. So
That was
it was
appropriate
good.
since the Super Bowl commercial
Yeah,
for the
it was
Baja
good.
Blast is
Yeah,
the
right. Yeah, I'm actually having a Baja Blast right now. So I it was awesome. Derek from Dreamers by Design came as The Mandalorian and did Enter Sandman, and he sang it to Grogu, and it was hilarious. And he had like a rock band guitar, and he just totally kicked its ass. It was great. I loved every second of it. So,
Nice.
mate, yeah. So thank you for everybody who came out for that. That was a great time. We're gonna do two more cosplay karaoke's this season. One will be at the Resonine again, and then one will be at Sly Fox. We have not figured out where or when we're going to do where, but one will be in May and one will be in April. we're gonna work those out. And we haven't figured out what the themes of each one will be, so make sure you keep an eye out for those. But it's gonna be a great time, so make sure you check it out. Other than that, coming up, next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend. Nope, sorry.
Nope,
My
sorry.
bad. My bad. First weekend of March. Ohio Valley anniversary sale. Lots of cool stuff on sale. Other than that, hold on. Actually, I have an email about this. Hold on. I do have this today somewhere. So we have that. Oh, that's what it was. So this week, so from now, right now,
Okay.
until next Wednesday, if you're our Ohio Valley store shopper, or the end of next week for our PA stores, you can drop off any Jimmy Palmiotti or Amanda Connor book that you have that you want signed and give us $5 plus tax. We're going to run it through the register. It needs to be in a bag and board. No tape. You can buy the bag and board at the store if you want. No tape. We're going to make a little, f we have a little form. We're going to have you fill it out. You're going to drop off the book. Then we're gonna actually give that to Todd, and he is going on a crazy East Coast buying tour. At the beginning of March, so he's driving all the way down to Florida. He's having lunch with them, and they're gonna sign all this stuff, and then he's gonna bring it back. But because he's doing this buying tour, it's you're gonna get their stuff back sometime toward the end of April. So just know that it's gonna be like almost 2 months. But yeah, you can do that. So you have to have your stuff at the Ohio store no later than like 4 o'clock on Wednesday the 19th of February. When I leave the store, because I'm not gonna like you have to have it dropped off by then. PA stores, you have to have it dropped off by close on the 23rd. And we'll take it and send it off. And then also don't forget Three Rivers Comic Con tickets are on sale.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I saw on Instagram the our announcement for that we said last week for one of our artists,
Yeah,
featured
Ali
artists.
Garza.
So
Yeah. Ali Garza is definitely coming. We're pretty pumped about that.
yeah, I have been bombarded with questions of who else is coming, and I'm like, I am not in liberty to say.
who is bombarding you with questions? That's my
We're get
question.
well, to be very fair, we're getting bombarded on Whatnot when we're doing the Whatnot thing. So
Oh,
it's
really?
moderating, people are asking. So
Oh.
we may not be selling books on Whatnot, but at least we're having the word out there.
So when I do my sale here at 9:15, which by the way I set it for 9:15 tonight,
Yeah.
so I have a little bit of
A little bit of
extra,
room there.
so I can go pee at least between, so I'm gonna
We
get
could always
bombarded
start a
tonight
half hour
maybe.
early as well.
No, no, no. But yeah. So I mean, we actually have a bunch of guys already listed on the website. Like I put up a bunch of people already.
Yeah, but I think people like to hear out of our mouths, like,
Oh,
because
well,
again,
okay.
there is a movement going on. If
Okay.
in case you haven't heard, the people are getting off Facebook, people are getting off of Instagram,
Okay. Well
people.
then, I'm gonna read you who I've confirmed so far. A
Okay.
lot of these are a lot of these guys are some local guys, some repeat guys. We do have some guys down the pipe that I've not put on here yet that I have confirmed, but we're doing some waves of people, so don't get too crazy here. Like these aren't everybody, but this is who we have right now. Okay. So we have Ali Garza, we have DJ Kaufman, who did our logo. He's worked on Hero by Night, Hulk 100 Project. He runs his Draw or Die. It's great. George Broderick, who did a lot of stuff with Innovation Comics, like Quantum Leap. Radioactive Man, he worked on some Simpson stuff. Lost in Space. Greg Wilson, who is an author, he did Third Sign, Icarus. He's also going to run some RPG stuff for us in panels. Howard Bender, who worked on Action Comics, Legion of Superheroes. He also worked on a bunch of like Archie, Richie Rich, stuff like that. He's now a caricature artist. He also is the guy who did our poster with the bus. If you guys remember that, which is awesome.
Nice guy.
Pat and Shelley Block, who have not been to the show since I think 2017, 2018. They're coming back. They did Donald Duck. They worked on Disney cartoon or Disney comics. They're great. They're phenomenal. So if you're into like Disney comics, they are awesome. Seriously. They're so sweet. They're personable. If you have kids, they're great to go and check out and talk to. Pat Olive, who has worked on Catwoman, Spider-Woman, Barbed Wire, Rough Riders, Thor Corps, Spider-Man, all kinds of other stuff. I have an awesome Beta Ray Bill, Teddy Roosevelt sketch that he did for me. That's great. That someday I may turn into a poster for the show if I have to, because it's awesome. Ron Frenz, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man, Superman, Thor, Heroes Union, Flash,
Spider
God,
Girl.
Spider-Girl, like so much stuff.
Yeah. He's definitely our local star, right? It's like, so, and it good dude to talk to him and Pat.
He
Pat
actually
was
has a
hilarious.
he has a really he has a an archive edition Artist edition, archive edition, Black Suit Spider-Man book coming out in July, by the way. We're it's coming out in FOC sometime this month. Working on a possible signing with him, just so you guys know. If he would return my text. Anyway. SA Check. Scott did Night of the Living Dead, Three Stooges, Pink Panther, all for American Mythology. He's a great guy too. Sammy Castillo. Sammy worked on Grim Fairy Tales, Batman. She does art. She's the widow of the late Tommy Castillo, who also worked on a lot of the stuff that he worked on too. And Sammy is a great artist in her own right, as well. And she's also going to run our Drink and Draw, which is great. And then the one and only Wayne Foucher, Inker Extraordinaire, Spider-Man, Mandalorian, Batman, Impulse. Those are probably the biggest names that he's worked on, some really cool stuff. Our cosplay guests so far are Samurai Jill, Sarah Spector, who we've announced today. We've put some photos up of Sarah. Captain Cash, he's gonna just have a table, but Sarah and Jill are actually gonna be shooting with Jeff Zoot Visuals, the wizard himself. So he's gonna be there, and then we have a bunch of a very long list of Artist Alley and vendor guys that are gonna be there this year already listed. Again, I have some other guys that I have not listed yet, and stuff like that, because I like to do things in waves. I like to have like to have some waves of things and make things exciting for you guys so that it's not just like here's I don't like to blow my wad in all one big chunk. You know?
Don't
I like
blow
to
your
make
wad
you
there, John. Don't blow your
I
wad.
like to I mean what? I like to make you wait for it a little bit. How's that? That's better.
You're such a romantic, John.
I
That's
do. In this
a...
pre-Valentine's week.
Exactly.
So all right. So we're gonna talk about comics now because we're getting off track and it's being a little weird, I guess. Hey, anyway, get your tickets now. By the way, all the prices on the website all include the fees. And you can stop in your local New Dimension Comics and buy them there as well, except for Cranberry and Waterfront until they decide to actually click on the link and set up their box, because they're slackers and don't know what the hell they're doing. No, just kidding. They're just slackers. Anyway.
Do I have
Oh,
to drive down there? Is this what this is
no,
it? I'm like
no, no. But at the end of the month, Justin and I will be at Happy Valley Comic Con, and you can actually buy your tickets
Yes.
from us in person while we're there at the booth.
Yes.
So that'll be good too. So make sure you stop by and check us out too. All right, let's talk some comic books because that's what we like to talk about. All right. Boom. Green Lantern Corps.
Right.
So, firstly, oh wait, hold on. Let me stop share real quick. Firstly, I just want to show off this variant cover was
Ooh, shiny.
amazeballs, right? This foil Jessica Cruz cover, I had to get it. Had to get it. All right, now I can share the screen
Who's
again.
the artist for that?
I don't know. I don't care. Didn't matter to me.
I figured I'd ask.
Zerdy, S Zerdy,
Okay.
is what's on there. So, I don't know, but it was really. I was like, "Holy crap!" I was like, "I need to have this in my life." All right. So this book is by Jeremy Adams, and Morgan Hampton, the guys that basically are doing the regular book, and it's awesome. So this is the. So the Green Lantern guys are basically split into two. The other book is Hal, Kyle, and well, it's mostly Hal, but and Kyle's kind of with them. This book is mostly John, Baz, Jessica, Joe, little bit of Guy, and Frankie, I believe, is the Teen Lantern's name. Anyway, it's mostly John Stewart, and so it starts with like people or him kind of like stopping a riot, and then he's talking to Joe, who's the Far Sector Lantern. She's the girl with the kind of the really wide sunglasses as her mask. And there's a really nice dynamic they got going on, where they're kind of flirty, and I really like how they're working that dynamic right now. And then there's a really good dynamic where Baz and Jessica are still, they're also kind of flirty, and it works out. And Jessica's running the core. So John and everybody kind of come to a meeting, and they talk about Sorrow, who's Carol's ex-boyfriend, who broke the emotional spectrum, and they call him the emo lantern, which is hilarious. So they have to go and try to figure this out. So they're sending John to Tamarian, because there's a giant fear spike and they need to get it under control. And he's like, I'm sending somebody with you, somebody that understands fear. And he's like, oh, great, who's that? And he goes, "Well, if fear's involved, Sinestro will be your guide," and it's Sinestro. And he goes, "Fuck." So Sinestro and John go, and the main Blackfyre, who's like the leader of this planet, is trying to keep this person under control. So John and Blackfyre kind of are trying to take care of the constructs while Sinestro goes and talks to this person who's actually dealing with the fear and is triggering this giant construct of a god, basically. And the way he goes about it is so well done. And I'm not gonna read through it, but the way Adams writes Sinestro in this scene, I have not seen someone write Sinestro like this since Geoff Johns. And it is so well written that I'm just absolutely in love with the way he wrote this. And it gets to the point where Sinestro gets this girl to not only overcome her fear, but they recruit her as a Green Lantern. And then, like, they go back to the core and they realize that if this is how this is going to be, this is how they're going to restart their core. And that's kind of the idea of it. And then they're going to go next, they're going to go to Thanagar, and Hawk Girl is going to be there, because can't go to Thanagar without Hawk Girl. So in my dozen eggs, I'm giving this I'm giving it 10 out of 12 eggs,
Okay.
because, like, while it's not a full dozen, because it does have a little bit of a hiccup moments in it. Like, there are some moments where it kind of strays. It does, for the most part, do the job, and it does go very well. It keeps the pace. It's vi written very, very well. The art is very good. I'm still not a good I'm still not like in love with Jon Stewart, but I think it's got a lot of potential, because the way that they wrote him and Joe's relationship and how that dynamic is evolving, and then the way that Baz and Jessica is evolving, and then the way Sinestro is evolving as a character, because the last time we saw him, he literally landed into Mogo and sucked all the red out of him, and willed himself into a Green Lantern again after willing all the red gone. So to make Sinestro like the greatest lantern, the greatest lantern, like not just Hal Jordan, but the greatest lantern over him. So it's one of those things where, Sinestro will always be the greatest Green Lantern, not Hal Jordan. And it's always one of those fights of, is he really? So it's kind of a cool concept. So
All right, we got Deadpool and Wolverine. This is number two. Now, this is I guess this would be volume two. The first series was last year. One came out in December, I believe. This is like one out of every 3 months series, it seems like, because it's been a while since this came out. But we left off with a nuclear fallout kind of happening. Logan and Maverick are trying to figure out what's going on with Deadpool. If you remember, Deadpool is kind of getting brainwashed by Strife, wearing a like this really super suit type deal where he can do pretty much anything he wants in this suit. So, and there is a suit made for Wolverine, but he's not wearing it, and Wolverine is not brainwashed like Wade is, because obviously. But we see Strife. We haven't seen him since what, 2000, early 2000? It's been a while since it had anything with Strife in it. And he's planning on conquering the world. It's really unclear, like, the motives. The art is good. I'm enjoying the art. One, like, O period, N period, E period, which is the organization that Maverick's working on, wants Maverick to catch Wolverine, going, hey, if he ends up being brainwashed too, then we have double the issue with just Deadpool. And Maverick's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, Wolverine's fine. And they're like, no, you do this. Well, Wolverine escapes in a helicopter. They trying to find Wade. While this is all going on, Strife basically reanimates these fossilized dinosaur eggs, which is what they're fighting on the cover here. The helicopter Wolverine stole gets hit by a pterodactyl like. These things are mutated like crazy. So they're mutated probably because of the nuclear fallout, and probably because they're partially fossilized. And Wade is riding one of them. So they finally kind of they shoot Wade a couple times, and it kind of snaps him back into his normal witty perverted form, because they start making a lot of pun jokes, and you know how Deadpool is with pun jokes. And after they get that, and they kill one of these giant dinosaur monsters, we see Strife riding a whole horde, like one of them, and is leading a whole horde of them somewhere else. I'm not quite sure what the whole gist of the general core of the story. Like, it seems to be jumping around a lot, which it's Deadpool and Wolverine, so I don't expect like deep storyline. But the art is good. It is an entertaining book. I will give it 7 eggs out of 12. Like, the art is very, very good. This is probably one of the more well-drawn Wolverines I've seen in years. Like, there's not over-exaggeration of his features. The dinosaurs even have a lot of very intricate lines and everything to make them look really cool. The storyline is a little all over the place, but I see where they're kind of going with it. It's kind of, you kind of have to, I had to reread it like twice to kind of get the gist of it. And I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. I think there's like, this is like a six book series. So we will see where it goes from there. This is only book two, so we'll see.
Cool. All right. My next book may be my favorite book this week. Like no
You
joke.
always read the animal
Dude,
books.
this book the like so I well I love the first off, I love the Pet Avengers, right? So this book is So it's Lockjaw, the dog that Miss Marvel's petting his name's her, her name's Mittens. And then there's Lucky the pizza dog, and then there's the astral plane Bats the Hound, which is Doctor Strange's dog, and then Cosmo the cosmonaut dog, right? So they're all pet Avengers, right? Or
So
something
they're
like
all
that.
dog.
They're all dog Avengers, right? So that this book may have, I think, a total of 15 actual words in it. Spoken words, right? So it starts out where Miss Marvel and Kraven are having a fight, and they bust into a dog shelter, and Mittens comes around the corner with a Captain America squeak toy in her mouth, and they fall in love with each other, and she squeaks, and Miss Marvel throws Kraven into a dog pen, and they she you know picks her up and adopts her, takes her back to Avengers Mansion, and at first nobody likes her, like Lockjaw doesn't like her, like Cosmo doesn't like her. Cosmo even says, "Cosmo, no wear, no cone of shame." Carries around the squeak toy, and then everybody likes the squeak toy because it's a little Captain America, so everybody's cool. And then it kind of goes through like these, like it's almost like a year in the life with them. So like then it cuts to like, so America Chavez and Captain Mar or Miss Marvel take them to the park to go to play, and America throws a ball and goes fetch. So Lockjaw and Mittens run after this ball, and America opens a portal, right, like a star portal, and it all of a sudden it goes Wakanda, then it's Asgard, then it's Baxter Building, then it's Vegas, then it's Queens, then it's the Marvel bullpen, and then all of a sudden they're at the foot of Galactus. And then they're back in the park. But when they're at the foot of Galactus, they look up and they're just like, "Oh." And like Galactus looks down and they're just like, "Oh." And then then they cut to like a Christmas. It's the Christmas Eve, and Mittens hears some jingle jangling going on, and she goes over to the tree. She realizes that's not Santa Claus, and it's Gwenpool dressed like Santa eating cookies. So she attacks Gwenpool, then it's New Year's, and they're counting down the New Year, and then it's Happy New Year, and all of a sudden, like the fireworks are going off and they're all freaking out, and Cosmo says, "Cosmo, no like boom." So you see like Pizza Dog hides under the bed, and Lockjaw disappears and goes onto the moon, and Mittens runs out the door and starts running through the park and ends up in a park, and Miles Morales finds her and like webs her ears shut. So like as like headphones, so she can't hear the boot, like the fireworks, and she's all excited about it. And then like they're like trying to get her to play with toys, and all of a sudden she comes in with like the Infinity Gauntlet in her mouth. And they're like, "Drop it, drop it." And to get her to drop it, they like put like a steak in her bowl. And then Squirrel Girl comes in with Monkey Joe, and like they like Mittens goes after Monkey Joe, and they have like a crazy little fight, and then all of a sudden Chewie comes out, and like there's a giant ant out there, and Chewie just flurkins the whole giant ant. And then they pet Chewie because Chewie's a little kitty as well. And then there's like a whole scene of like different dog walkers trying to walk all these dogs, like where like Gold Balls is just shooting gold balls everywhere, and all the dogs are running after the balls. And like Mr. Fantastic is like wrapped around trees, and Emma Frost is just saying sit, and they're all sitting and listening to her.
Course,
And
because it's Emma Frost.
right, and like Moon Girl, like they're all just like all over. And Marrow is like throwing bones everywhere. Like, and Wolverine is on the ground sniffing with them. Like,
Yeah,
and
he does that.
multiple man has like a different dupe on each one, right?
Oh, Lord.
And then there's a scene where Devil Dinosaur is like playing with them in a dog park.
Oh, my.
And then there's one called Comrades, and it's like a flashback for Cosmo. Which is actually pretty cool because like you actually get to see like Sputnik 2. Like it's like a Sputnik 2 thing. There's one called Pet Me Now where Mittens just keeps showing up to Miss Marvel like in really inopportune times. Like she's on like a video call with Iron Man and you see her like right in the camera's face. Like she's doing a presentation to the other Avengers and she's like barking and like you see her like getting pet. And they're like fighting like this giant fight, and her, she like makes her arm go stretch and pets her dog. And then there's this one called Sleep to Perhaps to Dream, and it's each one of them shows each one of them dreaming, and they're each dreaming like if and like one's like where like Lockjaw is dreaming about Black Bolt petting him and saying you're a good boy, you're a good dog. Cosmo's dreaming about all of them being cosmonaut dogs. Pizza Dog's dreaming about all of them eating pizza together. Like, and Wolverine's like cooking pizza in an oven. Doctor Strange dog is dreaming about all of them playing cards in the Doctor Strange in the astral plane with Doctor Strange. Mittens is dreaming about them all like in like superhero outfits like beating up mice. The last one's called Can You Dig It? And they end up like Captain America can't find his stuffed animal, his stuffed teddy bear. Is they call him Sergeant TB, and it's Sergeant Teddy Bear. And they find him because he was buried in the backyard.
Oh.
It was really cute. So it was like a really thick book, but it was super fucking cute. So I am giving this book the fucking Baker's Dozen, buddy. This is getting 13 goddamn eggs. Like it is that good. It is so fucking cute. And that's why I like it. Like these are just this book is so fun. Like it's not about like a great crazy story. It's not about action. It's not about, all this mayhem or like stuff like that. The art's fun. The stories are fun. Like it's these little cute mini stories. I really enjoyed it. And if you're a dog guy, like if you're a pet guy, like I have dogs, I thought this was cute. Like this is the kind of book I would buy my wife if she actually would read comics. Like that I think she would actually enjoy, right? Like
Well,
if
it's
she under
definitely for kids too. This is definitely a
Right.
kid's,
Like I have a bust of Lockjaw in our curio cabinet downstairs. Like that's like I love Lockjaw. Like and like when the Inhumans show came out, he was the thing I looked at the most, and he was awesome, and they did him well. So,
That's the only thing they did well.
no, it wasn't that bad. Come on.
I rewatched it actually. I was like, oh, I see why it did what it did.
There were a couple things that weren't great, but
I'm not much of an Inhumans like fan to begin with, but I gave it a shot and I was just like, But this I did love. Lucky Devils number two. We continue on the well, this is the second circle titled Lust and on the inside of the book. We get introduced to the devil who's on the cover here. His name is Onion Screw. Basically, like one of those motivational speakers of how great he is, and when he started as a young devil, and how he slowly corrupted this kid from birth until the his human was like a multi-billionaire. Again, hits in certain areas in the current times we live here. Punch to the gut, but it just kind of opens up on the type of world that Collar and Rake live in, like in hell, like what their motivation is. It's basically like being part of a corporation, where you get the big guys, making a show of it and giving that little speck of hope to everybody who's trying to work up the ladder. And then we get flashed into Collar and Rake basically working with Cameron and Star, each kind of doing their own thing. Cameron and Collar. Cameron thinks that Collar is just his imagination. Like he's so delusional that he doesn't think that Collar is real. And Collar's just gonna let him do it, like think that, because he's like, oh well. He's like, if you don't think I'm real, cool, but I'm just telling you I'm real, and this is happening to you. Meanwhile, Rake and Star kind of become very friend, like kind of a friend. Like Star is very cautious because apparently she is a preacher's daughter, and all these stories about heaven and hell were integrated into her as a child. So she asks the typical questions like you would of a devil. Is like, are angels real? What's hell like? This, that, and the other. And they kind of bond a little bit. There's even a scene where Star's hat kind of blows in the wind and ends up landing on a statue, and Star couldn't reach it. Well, Rake just hops up and grabs it and gives it to her. And they're slowly getting to know each other. And as they do this, they end up helping Cameron and Star. Collar helps Cameron write a paper about morals, and this, that, and the other, like a very intricate paper. Meanwhile, as he's teaching class, a tenured professor all of a sudden grabs a I want to say a senior board member of the university and just starts punching him in public. And it's I think this is Collar's doing, or it's at least a kind of a side effect of what's going on. But because this happened, the teacher got fired. But Cameron got a promotion. So he is now a tenured professor with a raise. Meanwhile, Rake is helping Star, just telling her, just keep up doing your work. Like, check on patients like you've been doing. She's like, hell, up the effort, double your effort. As she's doing that, like she was supposed to be on her break, but she goes the extra mile just to do one more round around the patients. She opens the door of one of her patients, and the blonde from the first book, the blonde nurse who had the boyfriend that bought her an expensive car and got the promotion and everything, was caught doing one of the patients. So she ends up getting fired and Star took her place. Now Star kind of ripped into Ray going, "You did this. You caused this." And she's like, "Actually, my power is not lust. It is envy." She's like, and you get details that devils can only have one sin that they're given. Apparently, it's described as. But they transport back and you see Rake and Collar. They get promoted actually because their humans are in a better spot. They've moved up in life. Therefore, they move up in hell. So they get better accommodations, they get more money, this, that, and the other. But we find out towards the end of the book that there are natural disasters happening in hell because Cameron and Star are doing good in the world. They're not doing evil, and it's the complete opposite of what they're supposed to be doing in hell, is to make their humans evil. But what they're doing is they're having Cameron and Star become even better people, and their good influence is actually affecting hell. I really love this concept, and this is really good. The art's fun too. I'm going to give this the full dozen. I can't wait to
Nice.
see where this goes. But definitely another big hit for Charles Soule and Ryan Brown. This may be even better than 8 Billion Genies, in my opinion.
I mean,
So.
I've always loved Charles Soule in general, and Ryan Brown has been a great artist. So I
And this week also, our favorite artist, Maria Wolf, did the second printing of number one.
yeah.
So, and that it looked pretty good. I'm not getting it, but I know certain employees of the company are big fans, and they will do that.
Oh yeah.
So.
All right. Now we're going to talk about One World Under Doom. We both read this book.
Yes.
So this book starts out where Dr. Doom is basically like, well, first off, Dr. Doom is Sorcerer Supreme. And he
And
is taken over.
that was in a one shot last
Yeah.
year. Yeah.
Yeah. And he is t like taken over all world leaders, all governments. He has made healthcare free. He has made education free. And basically, he said everything else is going to run as normal, but you're all now part of Latveria. And the Avengers are kind of like, this doesn't quite sit right. Something's not right. This doesn't feel right. And then Hydra's like, you know what? I don't think it feels right either. So they go in and you see Helmet Zemo fly in there with his dudes. And they all of a sudden, a little later, they're like, hey, you know what? We were wrong. We're gonna go and like dig up a bunch of mines, and we're gonna help build a bunch of stuff, and we're gonna do it right because we're Hydra. And Captain America's like, no.
Yeah, he kind of
This
lost his
definitely
shit
ain't
a little
right.
bit.
Yeah, he's like, this definitely ain't right. There's definitely something wrong here. So then therefore, they go to his castle, and they're looking around, and they kind of find out that Dr. Doom's actually not in his castle. He's actually up in the air in like a flying Hydra fortress, right? So they get up there, and they realize that he's actually killed Zemo, and the Zemo you saw is actually a Doom bot. So then Iron Man's like, yo, world, here's this Zemo head. Like, don't fall for this bullshit. Which I thought that might like his reply video was, I think, my favorite part of the whole book. Like, because he's basically like, don't fall for the bullshit. We're gonna take care of this. If you're waking up now, just have your coffee. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with you. Like things will be back to normal in a minute. Hold on. Like it was like the most ridiculous, like, and Tony Stark thing I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that we got like this was so Fantastic Four laden because it was Ryan North. Like we got a Aunt Petunia, we got a oh man, we got a Flame On. We got a really good moment with Johnny and Spider-Man at one point. Like,
Yeah,
who knew
that
that Sue
was pretty
Storm
good.
could who knew that Sue Storm could make an entire invisible jet out of her brain? Like she could just will one into existence and then hold it in her mind and then make it work. Like that's the part that blows my mind is how did she make it work?
I don't know.
Hanging out with Wonder Woman. That's how
Yeah, I was gonna say she kind of topped Wonder Woman, to be honest.
But overall, for the first issue of this storyline, I kind of thought it was good. I really want to see where this goes. It definitely was very I'm liking a lot of these Doom books they're throwing out. Like I did that one last week with Doom and Rocket Raccoon. I really like this one so far. I'm giving this book 8 out of 12. Well, 9 out of 12. I'm giving it 9 out of 12.
I was gonna say I'm about there. Because again, the art is beautiful too. I almost want to say it almost looks very Alex Ross, even though it's not Alex Ross, but it's pretty close to the his style.
The only thing that I didn't like is there are moments where in the art where you can't actually tell who some people are sometimes because the
Usually in the battle scenes, where things are exploding.
It'll be like a shadow of a person and you're like, who the fuck is talking? Like you're like, what the hell? Like there's like a lot of shadow usage. Also I love the fact that Dr. Doom's T-Rex, his Doom T-Rex is used in this. Like he's riding his Doom T-Rex that has his own fucking armor on it. That's hilarious. Hilarious.
I like, what was it? Spider-Man was like, when the hell did he get a T-Rex?
Right. And the thing's just like, don't worry about
Things like, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you guys about that.
it.
And like,
Long story. Long story.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but this was funny because not to get off too much of a topic there, but it's like this is kind of what someone was saying about dictatorship and everything. It's like I would live under Doom's dictatorship. Healthcare, no racism, the whole nine yards. I was like, all we have to do is go hail Doom. I'm like, I'm kind of down with that. I was like, I prefer green over red. We'll put it that way. It's but yeah, I enjoyed this book. This was a fun book. I kind of want to see where it goes. It definitely caught my eye because I was looking through them. Like, I saw my usual ones that I was going to do, and I'm like, I want to do one different. I was like, oh, let's do a Doom book. I don't think I've ever done a Doom book, so I was like, let's
Well, I
go
mean, he
for
is
it.
probably one of my top. He might be my top Marvel villain. If not top three for sure. like
Yeah, I'd
him.
say definitely top three. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know if we're talking like overall. Like, I definitely put Galactus up there as one of
Yeah,
my.
yeah.
He's actually number one for me. Like, if I'm gonna like get any big book, it would be that first
Yeah.
appearance of Galactus there would be like there, you know. But Doc Doom is there as far as a human, quote, human, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I enjoy him. I mean, of course, Magneto's there too. Those are like my three that I would consider like villains that I am down
Yeah.
with
They're probably
for
my
on
three.
the Marvel side. Like DC is another conversation altogether.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like mine would be like Sinestro, Darkseid. Oh. Shit. Maybe. Oh, man. Maybe Lex Luthor. Maybe. Maybe.
Evil genius kind of is like,
Yeah.
he's not really like.
Actually, no. Gorilla Grodd actually might be up there, but he's also technically an evil genius. But he's an
But
evil
he's.
genius gorilla.
Yeah, he's Evil Genius Gorilla, so
Yeah.
he's fun. I like, I kind of,
He
even
breaks the
though I'm not a
mold.
Superman fan, Parasite is one of my favorite
Oh
villains.
yeah, he's pretty good.
I like him. It depends on the iteration of him,
Yeah.
but then if I'm gonna go for some of my favorite villains, are always the Batman Rogues Gallery. You know, Bane was definitely
Flash
one
Rogue
of the ones
Gallery.
that I grew up with as a kid. Like, he was that one that made that, like, growing up reading comics, that was the one that kind of hit, because definitely was a he's more modern and he's not, you know, the
Yeah.
greatest villain ever, but I do like him as far as a villain in
Yeah.
DC, man.
The Flash's Rogue Gallery for me was the shit. Flash's Rogue Gallery is always the better Rogue Gallery than Batman's to me. So that's just me. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna get going, so I have a few minutes before
Yeah,
my
I was going to
pot
say
or
there's
my
not really a
sale.
lot of news except
Yeah.
Cap comes out this weekend. I
Yeah.
hope everybody goes out and sees it. I know
Me
it's
too.
not a Valentine's romantic movie, so you may want to go see it with your bros, you know.
I heard it's pretty good until the end is what all the critics say. So
I heard you. We do get a lot of, like, the credit teasers help out a lot for
yeah,
the
that's what I
future
heard too.
of Marvel.
Yeah, but
So,
I heard all in all, this movie is not great in the sense of the cinematic universe, but I don't really care. I'm gonna have a lot of fun with it because it's got a big fucking Red Hulk in it, and that's all that matters to me. So yay. But yeah, I'm gonna have fun with
the Spidey animated series is still really, really good.
it.
I'm really enjoying it. It's almost as fun as 90s Spidey. Almost.
Lies. Anyway, all right. Anyway, guys, make sure you go to the restroom and grab a drink and then come watch me on Whatnot here in a few minutes. I'm gonna be splitting my show with some Scotty Young variants and some awesome Peach Momoka variants, which by the way, there's an awesome Sabretooth variant in there, Justin, if you wanna in on it. That I saw in there that I was like, oh, I should probably put that in there. And then if you don't if I don't sell it, I'll just make sure I bring it to the mills tomorrow for you to look at. So
Okay,
All
I
right.
will do that. All
All
right.
right. Well, have a great night, guys. We will catch you guys later.
See ya.
If you don't, make sure you support your local shop. And if it's not me, if it's not us, don't worry. It's still cool. But if it is us, even better. Thanks a lot. Thanks for
Happy
watching.
Valentine's Day, guys, and
Yeah, that too.
congratulations to the Eagles. Thank God it wasn't Kansas City. That's all I need.
I was torn. But
I was, but I know Pat Mahomes isn't as bad as Tom Brady, but I like Saquon Barkley because he's a Penn Stater. I'm going with that as my
Fair.
excuse.
I was gonna be pissed off either way, so I just
Oh, throw Philly a bone that, you know,
I've
that
hated
their
Philly
baseball team
longer.
sucks as
I've
much
hated
as
Philly
ours do.
longer. I've hated Philly longer, so but
But I throw them a bone because what
sure. Good job,
their
guys.
basketball team sucks, their
There you go.
baseball
Okay,
team
fair enough.
sucks.
Fair enough. At least something from PA doesn't suck this year. Thank God.
Yes,
There we go.
yes.
How we get
There
okay.
you go.
All
I'll
right,
give it
guys.
that.
Thanks a lot. We'll catch you later. Have a good night.